The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DKHOOPS. That's code DKHOOPS for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Celtics and Timberwolves still atop their mighty perches of their respective conferences, but OKC and Orlando right at their heels. It's kind of amazing to watch, and we'll get into all of that and the state of the Utah Jazz with Deseret beat writer Sarah Todd on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles and Jack got mad boosties. Oh, Sarah Todd, you're back.
She
finally.
Back.
One of our favorites. It's so good to have you. How are you? How is it being a beat reporter? How is it being the co-host of the Unsalvageable podcast with former guest, Greg Foster? How is that? Those now, are light slugs up top.
It's
like LeBron James.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
11 years into beat writing, how is it? It's the same.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
And what is it with beat writing?
What is it about it? Are you making beats?
The fact that Timberwolves, OKC, and Orlando are three of the top four teams is not like that. Nobody had that coming into
Absolutely
this
not.
No.
This is very fun.
You had it in a fun way, OKC. You know,
I did have OKC.
Like in a jokey way, you're always like, oh, yeah.
Jokey.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, I guess now I'm sorry. Very
put
serious.
Put my money
serious.
Where my mouth is.
That's true. You did put it where your mouth is.
But that's only if they win the title. but the Timberwolves, like Anthony Edwards being as good as he is, this is, I'm so happy.
I felt like a couple of months ago, we were like, okay, Gobert and Cat.
Yeah.
We'll see if this whole
thing
works.
In the off
season. Everybody. And now look at us. Sarah, who are you most shocked by?
Well, I'm looking right now at what my preseason picks were for like 1 through 8 seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Timberwolves at 8 in the West, Thunder at 7. But I had Orlando as the bad team you want to watch on League Pass that won't be in the top 8.
Yeah.
So it is surprising. Yeah. And if you know, full honesty here, I have watched a total of 2 Magic games. Mm-hmm. So I don't really understand what's happening because in the games that I watched, not great.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it's like Paolo has figured something out too, and like their bench has become formidable. I think that's the big thing that I gleaned from my light highlight watching. I was like, oh, okay.
Is Anthony Black playing now?
Incredible last year though.
Yeah,
Paolo.
He is, and I think he's been playing more because Markel Fultz has been out. But Jack, your boy Markel, excited for him.
Yeah. I'm excited for this team. I love a young team that's coming to play. And this is where the in-season tournament is going to be fun to like see these teams play, assuming they're not eliminated yet. I don't totally understand it. I don't know why my Sixers are already eliminated. But
when, they beat the brakes off the Lakers, who are 4-0 right now.
In-season tournament games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone call it arbitrary, but I respect a team that's able to turn it on for the in-season tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
And it seems like the Lakers are that. It seems like the Pacers are that. It's going to be fun to see some of these young teams, including the Pacers, play with something on the line in a tournament that has the single elimination of it all.
The tournament that is in the season.
Exactly. It is in the season. And that's
what
the thing about
it. What more could be said? Exactly. The cash prize on offer.
Just call it the NBA Cup.
Right. Something easy. Right?
Just
that's
do that.
Fun. The Vegas Cup? The NBA Cup?
The Jerry West Cup?
That's
whatever.
What the cup is actually called, the NBA Cup. So just call it that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, the actual trophy. Yeah, why not? I mean, I think like most like leagues or sports that have these kinds of tournaments, it's ripe for sponsoring, naming rights. You know, that's
what
you
do. It's
going to
be the Taco Bell NBA Cup.
Baja Blast.
The Baja Blast season tournament.
There's just Baja Blast flowing out of the cup.
Yeah,
they
fill it
with a built-in Baja Blast fountain. The just ideas that you're free to take the NBA.
Yes, please.
It feels like LeBron wanting to turn it on for the in-season tournament. This is assuming that like the fact they're 4-0 is randomness, and but like that actually makes sense. I think last week I was like, I'm not expecting big things from the Lakers or like teams like that necessarily, who, you know, they won the title a couple years ago. This won't matter to them, but it does make sense. LeBron wanting to be part of NBA history, winning the first NBA Cup. Maybe they'll call it the LeBron James Cup at one point. James's Cup.
We got to go for something we can win. You know, I think that's what it's all about. It's about knowing, finding your spaces and then attacking. You know, right now, we like I said, that game against the Sixers was horrifying to watch. And I'm surprised you didn't watch it. Yeah.
It was so funny in that game because even when it was garbage time, like Mo Bamba was killing it against the Lakers. And like the Lakers looked so bad that even all of the on the Sixers looked amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Sixers don't have they just have the next man up. Okay.
He's back.
That's
back. He's coming back slowly. I know you thought you could quit your Sixers, but it was like so
slowly
funny when Blake Wexler
up.
Was on. It's the same thing. I was like, I know you said you're past it, but there's no way you can watch this and be like,
there's a small flame, a small pilot flame that stays on in the heart of Sixers fans. But it takes a lot. You're constantly checking the pilot flame, be like, that thing must be out. Because this water is cold.
Yeah.
Water is icy.
Just banging the side of it. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I've got another in-season tournament thought that I want to bang around.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the risk is that after years of this being a thing, because the NBA is going to keep it, that, you know, there's teams that we always say, oh, they're a good regular season team, right? Which just means that they're garbage in the postseason.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a nice way of saying that. And I think that you get the risk is being the team that's always good in the in-season tournament. And then it becomes an insult. It's like, they're always really good in the in-season tournament.
Yeah. They really turn it on a couple Fridays a year.
Yeah. I think that we might be headed towards that. So
they're a Vegas team. They really show up in in summer league and in season tournament.
Right.
I think that's the worst case scenario. I feel like if they lock in the, you know, the stakes, if it, like after fans have a couple of like really fun single elimination games under their belts, like it starts to become a thing that people will value, you know. Like there's that one All-Star game where everybody played really hard. And I feel like if that had just like kept going, like that would have been.
That was the first year of they did the Elam ending, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was great.
That was so fun. That fourth quarter, like that was crazy. Like if that had kept going, I feel like instead of like everyone would have been like, you know, actually paying attention to who won in the All-Star game. So
right,
yeah,
maybe we get a, especially if people are playing hard. I feel like it needs to be more money. It can't be just a watch for these guys.
I mean, it's some people. I mean, yeah, who is this? Spencer Dinwiddie was like, hey, that's a Rolls Royce. So he's got, you know, he got his eyes on something.
I did a huge article on this during the summer and like dug into it and talked to a bunch of players and like high paid players, low paid players, like run the gambit. And this, it's not low stakes to anyone. Like even the
highest
paid,
like, yes,
please. The highest paid player is like, I can buy a vacation house somewhere with that.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. Right.
And like, also, you have to keep in mind that like the financial pool for like the regular season and the playoffs, like the postseason pool, the most money that you can win is if you are a number one seed who then goes on to win the finals, like the Nuggets did last season.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you, and so last season the Nuggets made the absolute most money that they could because you progressively get more money each round of the playoffs that you continue to go. And that ended up being around $470,000 per person for the Nuggets.
Oh, wow.
Now, that is before taxes and before they buy the championship rings, because that has to come out of that pool.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's before...
Oh, the championship rings come out of that pool?
Yeah. And it's before...
Man, I would be like, give me a garbage championship ring. Like, yeah, give me, like, give me the wedding band that I have.
What if they average, like, six figures for the ring?
I think it's, I mean, I think it's
high
six figures. I think it's
just
figures.
About, yeah, I'd
but
imagine.
So,
like, with...
so then you also, every team then like comes together and they vote on who else on staff will be getting part of the pool. And so like that includes trainers and chefs and they always vote to give some money to people because they don't want to seem like horrible humans.
Right. Yeah.
And so it ends up being far less than they would get if they just won the in-season tournament.
Right. They're like, that's $400 cool. bucks, Jamal.
Yeah.
And it's not like these guys aren't competitive, right? Like they're all super competitive. Like that's how they got here in the first place, is they have that gene where like they're all playing cards like constantly. Right. They're playing each other in video games. They're
right. And like the Jazz head coach Will Hardy, the way that he put it, he was like, I can put $5 on the line during practice for free throws and guys will nearly kill each other to win.
Right.
That's great.
So like there, you put $500,000 in front of them, like they want it.
Yeah, because right. Because even to your point, it's like the only other way you could get that kind of money, close to that money, is to go from the one seed and win the whole thing, and then even after that, you're left with whatever. So
The Lakers in the COVID year, which was the pool was a little bit less in the bubble when they won the championship that year, but not that much because then escrow rolled out and it all evened out anyways. But once everything was paid, rings bought, etc., every player got a little over 100,000.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and thank you, Jabari. Sent me an article. The rings can go from 10 to 40,000, and some to even exceed 100,000. So I guess it all depends on how drippy your ring is. But
Well,
icy.
Yeah, that's a lot of watches. That's a lot of the watches I normally buy. For $500,000. About 500,000 of them.
State of the Jazz, 6-11.
Yeah.
And they got some good youngins. What are you seeing while focusing on the Jazz?
State of the Jazz, bird's eye view, not great.
Okay, we can move along.
Listen, they had a really, really ugly 2-game road trip where they lost against the Lakers and then the Blazers. And it wasn't even like that the Lakers beat them, because that would have been fine. But it was that it was so embarrassing the way they played. And then it was even more embarrassing the next night against the Blazers. And so then they had kind of a heart-to-heart film session the next day where everyone was called out. I mean, I think they were averaging like 21 turnovers a game. They'd had a couple games with 23, 24. It was really, really ugly stuff. Everyone was playing iso ball. It was gross. And Will Hardy, the coach of the Jazz, he's been saying since he became the head coach, like, I don't believe in free minutes. Of course, during a tank season, like, that doesn't really matter, right? But this season, when they do want to win games, it does matter. And so he started benching guys. And, I mean, he started Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Clarkson. In their defense, were out for injury and illness on the first game against the Pelicans a couple days ago. But even then, it's not like he started Colin Sexton or Talen Horton-Tucker or guys who had been in the rotation before. Instead of starting them, he dug down like onto the third string and started Omer Yurtseven, Chris Dunn, Simone Fontecchio.
You got some minutes, I saw. Yeah,
it was it was a bunch of it was a bunch of guys, you know.
Right.
And the message was, I mean, and Will Hardy literally said, if you're not going to play hard and pass, then you can't play for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah. What was that other thing he said? I think a little more colorful. He's like, yeah, yo, if you wear the Utah Jazz jersey, you need to give up about the Utah Jazz.
Exactly. That was the line after the Portland loss. He was pretty fed up.
And undefeated now since then.
Exactly.
As of this recording. So they turned something on.
Yeah,
Fontecchio is a great name, by the way. I think that was the first time I heard
Simone Fontecchio.
Simone Fontecchio.
Yeah.
Yes, bro. Yes. Give me more with that name.
Yeah. So they've been playing really hard the last couple of games. They won against the Pelicans with Zion, but without Lauri Markkanen. So that was a good one.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. You know, like They have four bad games in a row and a couple good ones. I'm not going to say that everything's turned around.
Sure.
We're 16 games into the season or whatever, so.
But I did see that Talen Horton-Tucker had no turnovers in the last game, which is,
he also had a lot less minutes.
Yeah. And seven assists, though. I was like, okay, you're quietly efficient there.
I found in my basketball career, the only thing that really helped with my turnovers was when they cut my minutes completely down. And then my turnovers went way down.
Complete, yeah, zero turnovers, 0 minutes too. But you know what? Zero turnovers. So,
But man, when I bragged, I am
my assist to turnover ratio is perfect.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just get in there.
And I've been watching some Keyonte George highlights too.
This kid.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. He is the real deal.
I mean,
he's an absolute hoops junkie, which is very fun. Like, it's like I kind of Jamal Crawford-esque, right? Like, the guys come into the league and they love ball. A lot of them do, right? But like, real hoop junkies are, that's not everyone. And this kid, he got drafted by the Jazz and immediately went back and watched all 82 of the previous season. And then he asked for clips to be cut for him of Mike Conley playing with Jordan Clarkson and Lauri Markkanen so that he could get them the ball in the spots that they liked when they had Mike Conley.
Wow.
So that's your rookie mentality.
Yeah. And to top it off, I saw that absolute sickening dunk he had on Dyson Daniels. I was like, bro, that's not even Dyson. A poster. That's a missing poster.
Which is funny. That was Keyonte George's first poster ever. Like, of his life. He started dunking when he was eighth grade, and he said, like, everything's been open in transition during warm-ups, stuff like that. And he was like, I've been looking for a body, and he caught Dyson Daniels.
Wow. I mean, beautifully too. Like, some of the photographs are true poetry.
Keyonte George is so fun because when he's coming out of Baylor, like, when the Jazz drafted him, I was like, I don't know. You just, you've got Talen Horton-Tucker, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson on this team, and you just drafted a guard out of Baylor who has a negative assist to turnover ratio, and he's just
like,
a bucket.
Yes, we did.
And they're like, yeah, we believe in him.
Yeah.
And then like his first two, I think it's the first three starts, he had like 21 assists and two turnovers, I think.
He heard your questions.
Yeah.
You're giving him bulletin board material.
It was funny because, you know, talking to him during Summer League, he'd seen some sort of like draft preview that was looking at his game, and they had like strengths and weaknesses. And he took a screenshot of the weaknesses and made it his background on his phone. not as like a, oh, this is what the haters think, but he was
this I need to work on.
He was like, every day I would look at it and I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna get these things better.
Wow. Something about elite athletes, you know, they've got something a little bit different than the rest of us. I'm like, I don't know.
They're a little bit, they're like slight psychopaths, but in a fun way.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Yeah, like you were, I mean, the wording you used was like true hoops junkie. Like some people like it and some people are junkies. It's like,
right.
Yeah, that language is like for people with a problem.
Yeah.
You need to seek help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, he's got the real, like the personality defect you're looking for.
Exactly. He does have the defect.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
They say that he's got, you know, he's got that dog in him, but it's actually, the D stands for defect and he does have that in him.
he's got that personality defect in him.
Yeah.
He's got that defective personality. He's got that pathology. All right. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Come back and keep talking about the NBA?
Yeah, why not?
I legitimately dropped a what a sport in there.
I know.
Eagle really... Ad listeners.
Hey, man. That Keontae George. Golly, what a sport,
I take my inspiration as a broadcaster from Magic Johnson's Twitter feed.
Right.
Yeah.
They do play basketball.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That kid can jump, can he? All right. Congratulations to him.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DKHOOPS. That's code DKHOOPS for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Thurl Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And yeah, so the Celtics are 13-4. The Timberwolves are 12-4. I feel like the Timberwolves are here. Like they're going to be right around that top spot for the season. Like it feels like Anthony Edwards has the defect and the ability to just kind of will them to where he wants them to be, and it's kind of coming together. We'll see. But like I Like, I'm not as confident that they're going to be there as I am, like, the Celtics, who feel sure. like they can't help but be one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. But, you know, I don't know that they're going to necessarily be ahead of the Nuggets, but I think they're going to be in the hunt for the first seed in the West. I don't know about OKC. I think OKC is going to be in the top six. Orlando is interesting, though. Do we think Orlando is going to be in the top six?
I don't know. I read some stat about how, like, teams that start off, like, 13, there's some record within the first 20 games that, like, typically if a team's there, they're going to be amongst, like, the top five.
Yeah.
Going into the postseason. And, like, I think they're two games away from achieving that. I mean, that's what the statistics say, but I don't know. It is just wild to see them kind of just put it all together, because it's always been like, yeah, maybe. I mean, like, when they put it all together, this could be fun to watch. And now they are. And now I haven't seen enough to know, like, okay, so this is where we're starting. This is, like, the new floor for them. Or if this is, you know, a flash in the pan. What do you think, Sarah?
I was just looking at their schedule because I saw that they'd won the last seven. And I was like, okay, but against who? And then I look and I'm like, that includes the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Pacers, the Celtics.
Yeah, they beat the Celtics. Like, they are on one right now. Yeah.
Right.
They're big. They're, like, big everywhere. They're strong. They're tough. I feel like they're, that's just been a trend across the league, I guess. These guys are big. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, seeing them in person, they're pretty big, these NBA players.
I've heard that, you know, the talent is always getting better and players are always getting taller. That's what I've heard.
Yes.
That's a rumor. We haven't actually confirmed that, but yeah.
I don't know if I believe in the Timberwolves. I think I probably have, like, a little bit of Rudy Gobert PTSD. And I think that, you know, they're probably, like, a Mike Conley hamstring away from not being good. And
interesting.
I've got PTSD from that, too. But here's the thing. I want them to be good because I love Mike Conley. He deserves good things. And I think that it would be great for things to pay off for Rudy Gobert. And I love Anthony Edwards. He does have that defect, and he's very, very fun. I just don't know if I believe in them. They seem like a really good regular season team.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know about the playoffs necessarily. Like, but I feel like this will be their first run where they get some, you know, like, they've been a feisty first, second round team, right? Since Anthony Edwards has been good, but this feels like the year where they could go to the second round and, like, make it interesting and start getting those, like, big minute reps. And I am talking, of course, about the in-season tournament when I'm saying the second round. Like, that's we're all talking about that, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the Thunder are sneaky in a way that I also think maybe the Magic are sneaky. Like, the Thunder are so much fun to watch. I have had an absolute ball watching them, and so I'm ready to believe in them because they're young. A lot of their guys don't make any sense at all. Poku's got a weird mustache that I'm absolutely behind. Chet Holmgren somehow is strong even though his body mass is like 2 pounds, I think.
Yeah
And it's just and you know, Shea is maybe like the skinniest best player in the NBA, like the skinniest of the best, right? And Salt also has like a very deep voice, and he does really weird things on the court that he makes look easy. So it's a fun, weird team, and I like weird.
His game is really strange. Like, you watch it, and like some of the shots he gets, like, you would watch him score three times in a row, and you still wouldn't be like, well, there goes like one of the 10 best players in the NBA. You know,
there goes Shea.
It doesn't feel like, it's not like smooth necessarily.
No, it's not like, as aesthetically pleasing as like watching, I don't know, like high level scorers like Steph Curry, Devin Booker, you know, like guys like that. It's not aesthetically pleasing to watch Shea. But then you finish watching a game, you're like, oh, he had 36. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. What a fun season. What a sport.
What a sport.
are we going to do it to the Clippers?
We don't have to do it to the court. Right. I mean, look, I took that L on the chin. I copped to it. The Lakers looked absolutely atrocious against the Sixers. But you know what? That somehow wasn't the biggest L of the LA teams that night. Because it's the Clippers against a Jokic-less, Murray-less, Gordon-less Nuggets, went into the fourth quarter with a lead where they have a tremendous record, and still managed to, it all just kind of went away. I don't know what to say. I mean, they had all of their four, their big four, whatever, however you want to describe that group of four gentlemen. But yeah, I said off mic, maybe a little bit more colorfully how I felt about it, but now I'm just like, well, yeah, you know, that's tough to watch. That's tough to watch. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think they're going to pull it together?
No.
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 I don't think anyone objectively thought before the season started that, like, this was the Clippers here, right?
Right,
like,
right.
That they have been aging and falling apart, and they're just throwing money and whatever else they can at the problem, and it's not going to fix it.
Yeah, there's a lot of Band-Aid fixes to things that need, like, a little bit more attention.
Band-Aid is named James Harden, it's not good.
Yeah. Did you see that clip of him walking the dog and then he kicked the ball like and then like had a turnover and had to foul the guy because it was going? So I was like, oh no, this is
oh, yeah, I comedic. Saw it.
Yeah, that was a little bit, that kind of like summed things up a bit, like,
yes.
In that moment. They were like up 9 at the time. But yeah, I don't think so. It's hard to see, like, just the idea, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but like James Harden and Russell Westbrook, like in the year 2023, for me, I'm like, I don't see that. Like, I don't see how any of that works on top of just what we've seen with PG and Kawhi. I just don't know. I'm like, yes, those are all great names, but I don't know how they collectively make the Clippers better. And that's, I think, what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the PG and Kawhi hadn't worked for years. Like, how does James Harden and Westbrook make that better?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you feel, Jack?
See...
You think they got it? You think
they're going to win the title this year? I'm going to zag.
Oh,
I think they got it.
What a sport!
Have
sport.
You seen that guy put the ball in the hole?
That cowhide guy.
Cowhide. Yeah, I still think Kawhi is better than people probably remember or realize. But yeah, it's like, I think there are going to be good moments where you have Kawhi, PG, and every once in a while Harden, like, you know, Harden playing his way back into shape. They could be scary and make some runs, but I still think they're going to be in that play-in range, which is probably not where you want to go with a roster that is the age that they are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm done. I've officially, maybe it's just me getting old, but I'm done with teams looking good on paper, because, like,
right,
paper is not part of basketball. Like,
no.
they it has to look good on the court. And so, like, you know, you look at that roster on paper and Kawhi, PG, Harden, Westbrook, like, those are some good names.
Yeah, right.
In practice, though, not good.
Yeah. That's where, you know, because paper goes in the trash.
It does.
You know, that's the thing about paper. Yeah. You hate to see it. You hate to see it, you know, especially as a Laker fan. You hate to see it. But I just do want to say one more thing, because I was thinking of Pat Bev. I can't believe he was like shooting 50% or something from three against us. And I'm like, maybe he just eventually plays with every team in the league. He can have those like comeback performances and just be the consistent monster that we all know he can be.
He becomes so, like, anyway, the greatest player in the league,
yeah,
in his mid 40s.
Every game is a grudge match.
Yeah.
Here I go.
Did you guys know that Russell Westbrook's wife is a therapist?
Physical or a, like,
or
a psychiatric
or otherwise,
like a mental, like, she has a degree in psychology. She's a like licensed therapist. She doesn't have time to like have a practice because like she's got a family and a husband who's in the NBA, but she, like, that's why she does like her show and stuff, because she's like a legitimate therapist.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that Russell Westbrook might be the most well-adjusted NBA player, and maybe we've just all been wrong about everything else around him.
Right, right. Even when he's going after fans.
Yeah.
Thing, it's like, he's
but
like,
even like
well,
then.
I was he's... taught to, I have to set boundaries. It's actually something I've learned in therapy.
Yes.
It's like, oh,
I'm kind
okay,
of with
right,
him most of the time when he's like going
so
after
too.
Fans. I'm like, yeah. Like, he's like, this. Think about how this feels for like my family, man. Like, that this sucks. Like, you're being very mean to me.
Right.
Like, and it's not, that's absolutely true.
But I guess like in a fan's mind who's like being toxic, it's like, well, they got all that money. It's like, what, disappear their entire family to a place where they don't have to face the scrutiny that they are because this person plays in this city? I don't know about that either.
Yeah, after 12 years of people like screaming in your face, like the worst obscenities that they can think of, you're just like, the money makes it feel good.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it.
Wemby had another one of the games where it was like it fit, you could tell he was a little bit locked in, a little bit like wanting to see what he could do against Jokic. You know, he said that he modeled his game after Durant, and his first best game came against Durant, and then obviously Jokic is the best big man in the league, maybe the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And he played pretty well. It was there was just a series of weird things that he was doing that I'd never seen a human body do before. Some lobs where he was like catching it and just like dunking it when the rim was at his neck and stuff. But also like defending Jokic in a way that was pretty
wild.
Yeah.
You could tell Jokic, like, even like his post game comments are like, yo, let this kid cook. Like, he's changing the game. So, like, let's just watch it. And I could tell, and that came from a place of sincerity because watching him be like flummoxed by his limbs and stuff and his length, I was like, oh, wow. Jokic is even like, yo, usually I can get the ball over there. But now there's like one no look that was so wild to see. Like, anytime Jokic comes with it, like, you'd be like, okay, he's hitting that no-look pass. Somehow Wemby was so long, he was like, the velocity was not intense enough for me to not intercept this, and I will merely take this with my 7 feet arms. But yeah, that was something to watch for sure.
That KG clip, I don't know what that was from, but Kevin Garnett, who was freaking out about LeBron James playing like this after this many years, and then he was like, we've got a 7'4" Frenchman.
Right.
Who's doing things that we've never like? Yes, we all agree with you. That's how we all feel. This kid is insane.
Right, for sure.
I also really like the clip of Jalen Pickett when he like meets Wembanyama, shakes hands with him, and then is like, just you can see his like face turn. Like he's just like, wait, what is happening? And then he's like talking on the sideline.
He's like,
he does a double take.
It was like one of those things where just like it felt like, you know, when like when you meet some like macho dude and he tries to really grip your hand, like doing like assert dominance like that, and like afterwards you're like, what was that about? Like he did that just because of the size of Wemby. He's like, you don't have to have your hand all big like that.
Yeah, he looked at him like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
He just keeps looking at his hands after they shake hands.
Like, we shook hands, I'm not gonna lie, like, his hand went to, like, here. His fingertips.
He's, like, pointing to his elbow.
Look at his hand, bro. So his hand came up to right here, his middle finger, bro. And he shook my hand, came up to, like, right here, bro.
He talks about it.
So he shakes his hand, like, walks away like he's seen a ghost from the handshake, is on the sideline talking to somebody, being like, I swear to God, his hand came up to my forearm. And then they're like showing in the game. He's on the sideline being like,
still.
No, for real. It was like right here. It was like
he was tickling that little part where like your elbow is on the other side.
Yeah.
That like
actually felt pretty good.
He was tickling that with a handshake.
Yeah.
It's wild how like hand obsessed, like with the way that clip is sort of structured. It sounds like Trump. He's like, yeah, big hands, very big hands,
big Christmas hands,
Christmas hands.
I'm gonna go see those Christmas hands because I had a choice to skip some games right around Christmas to like be home and take some days off. And the Jazz are playing the Spurs the day after Christmas, and I was like, no, it's fine. I'll fly to San Antonio on Christmas Day. It's fine.
Yeah,
wow.
That'll be I'm trying to see Wemby.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in this version. I mean, we caught Summer League Wemby, which was, I think, not also just so unfair to him, too, because I was like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, you know, like we
he'd
were
get
all
the ball and everyone would be like, oh,
And it's like a warm up. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man,
it's like giving it to
I've
the ball
been
boy.
To so many summer leagues, and I have never seen everyone in the Thomas and Mack Center stand up during warm ups, like the entirety of it. It was the weirdest spectacle to watch the people watch him.
Yeah, that's what made it a little bit more unsettling. Because that's where I was like, ah, this is the worst environment for anybody to try and perform in, just in general, and I'm part of it. But yeah, oh man, well, good luck to you out there on Boxing Day, as it's called.
Yes, can't wait. Yeah.
LaMelo Ball has been having an amazing season and has suffered a significant right angle injury, a right ankle. Right ankle injury.
Right. It is 90, a right ankle. 90.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ankle injury, but avoided any fractures, so that's good, because I would like to see him complete a whole season of basketball.
Please. Please.
He's been playing really well. Yeah. And then Şengün has been incredible.
I didn't realize he's 6'11 now.
Yeah, he keeps growing. I think he's headed for Wemby territory. He's just going to keep growing. He went up 2 inches in the offseason.
Dude, imagine him on OKC.
How?
I don't want to. Why would I do that?
How old is he? Let's see.
Can't be older than 35. I don't think.
He can't. He's 21.
21.
Yo, 21 is 2002. Old. No.
21 is old for a 2-inch growth.
To still be growing. Yeah. 21 is not, he's a grown boy territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. I know. I know.
But yeah, he's been playing. He's been balling. The Rockets are good, inexplicably. They're another one that I feel like a lot of people didn't see coming. I mean, obviously, when I say a lot of people didn't see coming, obviously, I'm not talking about
everyone
us.
Else.
We called all this. Just go back and listen to the. Oh, actually, I think those episodes were pulled down. But we call it all.
Yeah, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense said we had to take them down because.
Because they didn't.
The information
want other
was
countries.
The intelligence.
Yeah,
they didn't want other countries to know about us or something. Yeah. It was like a security risk to hear how smart and right we are about everything.
But then they forced us to go back into our liquid tanks where they put the headset on us and we just start predicting things.
The boosties were too mad.
Yeah, exactly. Precog boosties.
Sir, have you heard how mad these boosties are?
They're too mad. Call the Pentagon. These boosties have gone mad.
The guy just absently guessed the nuclear codes on air.
They were talking about the episode of some TV show Lost, and he said the exact code.
And the code was Dylan Brooks.
That's right. It's all Dylan Brooks. I know he's thinking that, so we might as well just come out and say this is all Dylan Brooks. It has nothing to do with the coaching change, nothing to do with the other veterans. It's all Dylan Brooks. And I mean, look how bad the Grizzlies have played thus far. Look how well his new team has played. I'm joking, but there's like 10% of me that's like, man, he's like mini Draymond though. He's not.
No.
Okay.
It's not the reason. I agree that he believes it's the reason. Yeah. But it's not.
Okay. All right. So we have this new segment that is
100% starting right now?
Original.
Yeah.
It is. So it's called Jacked in a Fool. Okay. Now my name is Jack, phrase that I use all the time, saying, "Man, he is acting a fool," when talking about a player. So Super Producer Jabari just kind of put it to it. Just went in the lab and came back with this thing called Jacked in a Fool, where we're gonna have a Jacked in a Fool moment of the week. Again, TM and all rights reserved, and copyright.
Copyright 2023.
Yeah, a little copyright thing behind this, because this is 100% original. And you're never going to guess who the star of this week's Jacked in a Fool clip is.
Jacked in a Pool.
Jacked in a Pool. You could just rename the segment. So many good
TM
moments.
Rights reserved.
Rights reserved. TM, all rights reserved. MMXXIII. Yep.
There's been some wonderful edits from people. There's one where he does this like sick spin dribble, like brings it like at half court, gets up to the 3-point line, like shoots this very smooth looking three-pointer, and like everything is like beautiful. They're like ramping it to like slow-mo on the spin dribble, slow-mo on the three, and then it like misses by a foot and a half to the left. and then he just like looks at his hands. But this the Jacked in a Fool moment of the week has to be when he shook was it Cade?
Yeah,
I think he shook Cade.
Yeah.
Put Cade on skates, took a moment to admire his work, and then tried to do a little scoop shot, but like he did it in a weird way and immediately got it swatted by Asar. So shook him and nope. Pulling
it's there was something
from the
about the
jaws of like
too.
A beautiful victory. Yeah,
he's like, oh, see you later now.
Nope, like he could, so he thought to just like take the shot, but then was like, wow, I'm so wide open, I should do something cool, like take a moment and
just come at this guy who was immediately just gonna swap me away like a loose fly. But hey, there it is.
I mean, I watched that video just now and I don't understand what he was thinking.
Yeah,
I don't know Jordan Poole.
Yeah,
Jordan Poole's doing the long game.
Our boy.
Yeah,
Jacked in a Pool.
What are you saying? This is Andy Kaufman.
Yeah,
he's doing some Andy Kaufman stuff to us right now.
Yeah, it's a pool party.
This is a long game. He's been like, oh, y'all thought I was really. Come on now, why don't you turn it up?
I've been on the Jordan Poole bandwagon since he hit that game winner at Michigan. His freshman year, wearing the short shorts, I was like, this guy's got something.
Got and moxie. Then
he certainly got something.
Yeah. Turns out I was right as usual. He's got something. If you just keep it real vague, your predictions can be
this kid's got something.
I didn't say what it was.
Emphasis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kid's got something.
That's the emphasis.
That's
the
way
one.
Something. Something.
Jordan Poole definitely has something.
Yeah.
Something?
He's got something. He's got something. Something. Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, that's been Jacking the Fool.
TM, copyright, MCMM.
I think it's different enough if it's Jacking.
Jacking? Yeah.
Man, not this guy is acting the fool.
Right.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to do the fastest segment in podcasting. We'll be right back.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you gotta check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DKHOOPS. That's code DKHOOPS for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Xtina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Thurow Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! And we're back.
We're back. Sarah, you poor unfortunate soul, you wandered into the fourth quarter.
You poor unfortunate soul.
Trademark, copyright
TM,
that. Thank you.
Copyright that.
Copyright that. MMXXIII. Now. It's time for the fastest question and answer segment in sports podcasting history. It's the fourth quarter rapid fire round of questioning. You've done this before. You already get it. We are going to ask you a question. You immediately respond. Don't take your time. Just give us those quick, fast twitch responses. You know what I mean?
No, so I know what you mean. I didn't do a good job of that last time. I just took an hour to answer every question.
No, well, guess what? We've learned a lot since that appearance, okay, and we've gotten lot more aggressive with maintaining our title. So please don't think we're rude. Even though we will be very rude. Okay, here we go.
Fourth quarter of the biggest game of the year, the championship of the in-season tournament.
Here we go.
Brian, start the clock.
Dump, 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 dump.
Were you doing Bill Maher?
Yeah.
Was that the... dude.
Dude, he's my favorite comedian. Here we go.
Taking quite a long time to get into the fastest segment.
Good call. You're right. Even better. Okay, do you want to go first?
I can go first.
All right.
Sarah Todd, I want to hear you ghostwrite a tweet for Magic Johnson on a subject of your choosing.
You know, a ham sandwich is always good when there's bread involved.
Yes.
Oh, nailed it.
Nailed it.
Is that
we were trying to do Magic Johnson movie tweets before. And I think the one I came up with was The Godfather is a quality film.
Yeah,
that feels good.
Feels right.
Congratulations to Al Pacino.
out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Martin Scorsese, does he ever make a bad movie? I don't know.
Fargo was an Oscar-worthy film.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 7 years after it won an Oscar.
Right. Shakespeare in Love, underrated. Even though it did win Best Picture, you're like, this is a weird fact. Okay, we got to keep it moving, Sarah. You've covered squads in both regions, okay? Both towns. The Bay Area and Salt Lake. Who has the better food?
Bay Area.
Wow.
Now, what is it about
the Bay Area? You're going to do that to the Salt Lake.
I mean, yeah. I don't think that anyone in Utah thinks that they have, like, the most culturally diverse food selection.
Dirty sodas?
Dirty sodas.
I can't wrap my hand around the dirty soda thing because just a regular soda works for me.
right.
Dirt it up. I mean, the Bay Area is crazy. You can literally have any type of food that you want at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
What do you miss the most? What's your 4 a.m. thing? What's that thing you're like, oh man, if I was in the Bay right now?
There's so many things.
Sarah, hurry up, please.
There's a place in San Francisco called the Garlic Rose, I think it's called.
The Stinking Rose?
Stinking Rose. Maybe that's it.
There's a Stinking Rose in LA that's like an all-garlic restaurant?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And what more could you ask for?
Yeah, that one thing that's just like garlic that's steeped in oil that you just like smear on the bread.
Mean, Bay Area also, like, there's a bunch of restaurants that I would go to. Like late at night or at any point during the day, even I'd walk into them just because I knew where they were. I have no idea what the names of those places are.
Right.
I know that there's a place close to a bank downtown that is an Indian place that's open till 4 a.m. and it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. God, love it. What a sport.
What a sport.
I'm just finding out that Mark Cuban is selling the Mavs.
Oh, you know what I miss the most? There is a taco truck near the corner of High and International in Oakland. It's right next to a Valero and a Burger King. So it's like right there. If anybody's from the area, they know the one. And it is the absolute best taco in the world.
I like that, Jack. You're just like, I'm reading right now. Mark Cuban is selling the Mavericks. And we just completely steamrolled through that.
Wait, he really is? Show. Yeah.
Oh,
Mark Cuban.
Cool.
All right. Who's the most underappreciated of the truly all-time greats? Someone who deserves to be mentioned but is often left out of the all-time debates of the all-time.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Mm. Love that answer. I mean, what is it about Dennis Rodman?
There has never been a single player that I can remember watching that would put his actual life on the line for a rebound. Like, he'd be like, if the choice is like, do I die or do I get this rebound and it leads to a bucket, I'll take the rebound. Oh, yeah.
I'm taking the board every time.
Yeah.
What do you think? It was just like, do you think everyone was just kind of distracted by the stuff off the court and just like his, you know, flashy hair and stuff like that, that kind of changes that? Or do you think it's just because the art of rebounding is just generally not as respected as it could be?
I mean, I think that defense is never as respected as offense. Like, scoring is always going to be flashier and, like, you know, the score is what's going to stick in people's minds.
Right.
And the people who add to that. I mean, and it's hard to be on a team with guys like Isaiah or Michael Jordan and, like, in the era that he was on those teams and be the guy that's remembered.
Right. Yeah. It's like I had to dye my head lime green. Okay.
Yeah.
For y'all to even figure out I was doing something out here.
He was probably him and Ron Artest. Those are
right.
Because, I mean, I like defense, so I'm always going to pick those guys. But you guys don't, I mean, the kids, they don't remember how good these guys were.
They never seen a guy stretched out like it was 2:45 trying to get a ball on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Oh, is it me now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. See, this is Sarah, this is where you got to really help us out.
Yeah,
you know, like, sometimes we get so nostalgic. Because I remember, side note, I did a book report on Bad As I Want to Be when the Dennis Rodman biography came out in school.
Yes.
And my teacher, I got in trouble because they're like, what are you? You just said it was a biography of a basketball player. Like, you're talking about drug use and stuff. I'm like, this is what's in the book.
That's what's
in the book.
That's his story, miss. What do you want me to say? Deny that? No.
How was his prose?
I mean, I think I was in fifth grade when it came out, so masterful. Masterful.
Yeah, it was ready. It was ripe for reading at that age.
I thought I was reading Lord Byron, to be honest. Sarah, here's a question. You can take two players from all of history to create your Mad Boosties Edition NBA Jam team. Which two players are you putting together for your special edition team?
Larry Bird and Dennis Rodman.
Oh.
Larry Bird and Dennis Rodman.
I've heard of Dennis Rodman. Who's Larry Bird?
The kids these days.
Yeah.
I feel like Dennis Rodman would have some of the greatest body checking. Charles Barkley would be incredible. Like, just toss you down court.
Yeah. They would create new animations for, like, your character, like, actually going to the stands or something.
Yeah. What I like is that my team is, like, in the middle. There's, like, something happens, a foul, someone misses a shot or something, and then my team, the animation is just them fighting. They're just fighting whoever's next to them.
Right.
He's the only player in NBA Jam history that has a Mortal Kombat fatality move.
Listen, the other team can't win if you knock them out.
That's true.
All right, finally, we're trying something new. You've been on before. You've told us you've given your answer for Jack or Miles.
Wow.
But the real question here is bacon or beer can? Miles, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, sorry. Bacon or beer can?
Bacon. Bacon.
Bacon.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, that's correct.
Bang.
Wow.
Man, from way downtown.
Sarah is killing it today. What a game. What a sport. I'm telling you. And that has been the fourth quarter round of rapid fire questioning. Thank you so much, Sarah Todd, for joining us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties.
I did good job. I think you guys talked more than I did during that.
Okay.
I did a really good job of being really fast.
I was just over here wistfully remembering all of my favorite memories from when Mark Cuban was the owner of the Mavericks.
Wait, is that really happening?
Yeah. He just sold it to the Adelsons.
To
Miriam Adelson.
Who's that? I don't know. I don't know who Sheldon Adelson is, the casino magnate who also bankrolled a lot of the Trump presidency.
Anyway, yo, here we go. Sarah, where can people find you and follow you and read you and all that kind of good stuff? Listen to you.
You can read all my stuff at deseret.com. That's D-E-S-E-R-E-T. You can follow me at NBA Sarah on everything, everywhere. And you can listen to my podcast, Unsalvageable. We just started a Patreon. We've got interviews with players on the Utah Jazz. We've got Good at Mailbag episodes. So there's lots of cool stuff that you don't get anywhere else if you're into the Utah Jazz.
Awesome.
Bang, bang. All right.
Where do they find us? Oh, that's right. You can follow the hashtag on Twitter hashtag Mad Boosties. You can follow me at Miles of Gray.
I'm at Jack_O'Brien.
And this has been another edition of Miles and Jack Got Mad
Boosties.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Sarah. Bye.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.